There we go. Okay, why don't I just ask you your name and address? We'll see if we can get both voices.
Okay. My name is Hans Selig. My American name is Hans Jackson. Jack or Jacob.
Okay. Okay.
Did you leave them?
No, I just left it there.
Okay.
That's okay. Okay, now we've got this all straightened out. Perhaps we could just start off by telling me about a little bit about your growing up and where you grew up and your family, that kind of thing.
I grew up in Diedorf, Westerwald in Germany, which is near Koblenz. I grew up, my parents had a store, what's called the department store. And I went to school, naturally in Germany. We went to Jewish school first, strictly Jewish, where we learned our first schooling. And then we went into junior high, mixed Catholic, Protestant, and Jewish.
How big was the town?
The town was, it was a very small town, but it was the city for all surrounding towns. We had the courts there, we had a hospital there, and all major things. So the town itself, I think it had maybe 10,000 population, but with the surroundings when the towns, it went maybe 100, 200,000.
About how many estimate would be Jewish families in the town?
We had about, I would say, 30 Jewish families. And we had our own synagogue and our own teacher who also was a candidate.
So when you went to what would be the equivalent of our grammar school, it was very small, I take it.
Yes, but in Germany, the Jewish went to the schools too. In grammar school, the Catholics had their own school, and the Protestants had their own school. Only from junior high on, we all went together to school.
Did you mostly, before you got to junior high, were your playmates mostly Jewish?
Not necessarily, no, no. The playmates we played with were just everybody.
How old were you when you went to junior high school?
How old was I at junior high school? I must have been 10 years old.
Ah, okay. So.
4 years grammar school.
Was your family particularly religious or very religious? Or how would you describe it?
We were religious. We kept kosher house, but we worked on Saturdays.
So mostly.
That gives you an idea.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. How many people were in the family? Were in your family?
Family, we were two boys and two girls. All together.
And you were where?
I was the youngest.
The youngest, oh.
Yeah.
So was there a big gap between among the kids?
I was the youngest. My brother came 3 years later, my sister 4 years later, another sister 5 years later.
But did you live, well, I suppose with that few families, only about 30. Was there a Jewish neighborhood or was it a mixed neighborhood where you grew up?
Mixed neighborhood.
Mixed,
naturally.
So did you feel any separation, I suppose you could say, from the Gentile children?
Not until 1932, 1933.
But before that?
Before that, no. None whatsoever.
What year were you born?
1912.
Right,
now you know how old I am. Yeah. I'm not a woman, so I can tell you.
So, And the department store was a large store? Or?
For the city, a good size store.
Would you describe your family as well off?
Yes.
Were the other Jewish families well off?
They all were well off.
They all were well off. And were your mother and father, was one more religious than the other? Or how important was their Judaism to them, I guess I'm asking?
Judaism was important, but they both were, I would say, so far religious that they went to, not the temple, they went to a synagogue, temple we didn't have.
Yeah.
In fact, my father was one of them who started to collect money for a new synagogue, which we built. I don't know exactly when. I know the old one was standing, and I was a little boy. And then they built a very nice, small synagogue.
In the Jewish school, did you have Jewish subjects plus regular?
Jewish subjects plus regular.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Regular grammar school.
And
the teachers were paid by the government, not by the Jewish congregation. They were paid by the federal, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Did your father serve in the First World War?
Yes. He was in the First World War.
What was his...
I couldn't tell you. I only know he came home once in a while on Sundays, weekend leave, and I knew what uniform he wore, but what particular part of the army, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the First World War at all? What was?
Yes, I remember the First World War when peace was declared, and I never saw a soldier in our city until the American soldier occupation force came and took our city. I remember that.
That would be...
I was maybe 4 years old.
Yeah. Same. Would you have called your family patriotic, or patriotic?
Yes.
German family?
I would say yes.
How did they demonstrate that or show that?
My father was active in many civil affairs in the city itself. Quite a few things he was active in.
Like?
Oh, they had certain groups to build up the city. He had a very good voice. He sang in a, you would call it a barbershop quartet,
yeah.
Or things like this.
Mm-hmm.
Very well liked in the city.
How about politically? Were either one of your parents active politically?
Politically, we stayed away from politics. We knew better in Germany not to be one-sided. We stayed completely out of politics. Most of the businessmen did.
Now, did that have anything to do with being Jewish, or have to do with just being bad in business?
Has to be Jewish and has to do with the business, both ways. Politics don't mix with either one.
Even though you experience yourself, nothing that would be called
anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
This came afterwards.
Do you recall how your parents voted, or in fact how you voted? What party, or?
What party? No. We didn't have actually party to vote. I mean, I was too young.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't vote. So I don't know too much about it.
Yeah. Could you describe your house just a little bit?
Our house?
Yeah.
I tell you, if you look at this house, the way I bought this house, by looking at it, because it looked like my parents' house, we owned a stucco house. And we were looking for a whole year for a house and couldn't find a house. And I saw this house, and I looked at the stucco house, without him any further. This always made up our mind. Not only this, our house was a stucco house here on the first floor. We had a tremendous store, with separate apartments. And upstairs, there are living rooms for us, and on the third floor, there are living rooms for the employees.
Mm.
But the stucco gave the idea.
So you have the entire, the business was connected with the house.
Yeah.
And the
Oh, I still have furniture.
That
my dining room. I sleep in the same bed.
Is
I
that
slept.
Right?
How many years? 40, 50 years ago. I brought this over from Germany.
Mm-hmm. Did you have servants or?
We always had a maid.
Mm-hmm.
Almost everybody in Germany.
Now, could you describe when you got to junior high school? Was that a big change for you, going from an old Jewish school to a Jewish
No,
school?
Not at all, because all our friends, we played together, did everything together.
Mm-hmm.
As a community affair.
So school was just an extension of the community.
Right,
age.
Exactly.
Were you, did your best friends tend to be Jewish or Gentile? Or this is, I'm talking about junior high now, and I guess high school as well, would that be?
My best friends, naturally I grew up with especially one fellow who was Jewish. I went all through school. And another friend was also Jewish, naturally we had closest. But we were also friendly with many others. In fact, so friendly that just last week I got a call from a young lady who called me. I haven't heard her voice for 50 years. Who went to school with me in Germany, a Gentile girl. And she was visiting me 2 years younger than me. And she called me up. She was in Pennsylvania. So there were a few people still. They were sympathetic to us, but most of them, I would say, if they were not friendly, they couldn't be friendly. After 33, there was just the gap in between.
You said it wasn't, you experienced absolutely no anti-Semitism whatsoever up until 32 or
33. Until 32, 33, I would say hardly any.
Mm-hmm.
Hardly.
And your family didn't? As well, and you just sort of thought of yourself as Jewish.
It all started in the 32, actually, before I was 32.
32. Do you remember the first incident that brought things home to you?
I know very well one incident outside a city, or I would say about 10 minutes walk. There was one fell with one boy and three girls. Naturally, he spent some time there, and one night I was wishing them we were surrounded with Nazis and we were lucky to get out of it.
This, you were saying
this
what?
We were lucky to get out of it alive at that time. So that was the first incident we had.
This was in 1932?
No, that was in 33 already. The end of 33 or 34, I don't know exactly.
But you were walking and you were just sort of...
No, we went missing there in the house.
Uh-huh.
For the first
Yeah. Let's see now. How old were you in 1932? How far did you? I guess I can figure that out myself. 1932. You were 20.
Right.
So.
Actually, I would say 21.
Mm-hmm.
More or less.
And you had completed. Where were you in
schooling.
Your schooling?
No, I. More than schooling. I was not home until that time. I left when I was 16 years, about 16 years. In Germany, you don't learn a trade by looking in books or taking night school. You go out, you learn a trade, being 3 years in one place to learn a trade. You got to finish the 3 years with very, very little pay. And that's what I did away from home, very far from home. I was at the Dutch border in a very large department store where every 3 months we were transferred from one department to another. This is how we learned to be a clerk or whatever you call it.
And were you training to take over your father's business, go into your
father's
business?
I stayed one more. After 3 years learning, I stayed 4 years. Then my father took sick for a little while. I went home to help my father store.
Did you go to this other department store in the town? What was the town's name?
Where?
In the near the Dutch border where you went.
Kleve, C-L-E-V-E.
C-L-E-V-E.
Yeah.
And did you go there in order to learn the department store business?
Right, right.
And then were you planning to go back home to take, or you didn't know? You were just
at that time, it was just learning the business. Mm-hmm.
And was that a Jewish-owned department store?
Yes,
or?
Yes. It was taken over later on by a chain store, something the type of Eileen's organization.
Mm-hmm. So then you went home in, your father was ill, so that must have been close to?
That was close to 36.
Well, that was 36?
No, that was before. So remember everything right now? Gotta give me time. I would say, no, that was in 33. 32, 33, I came back to my father's.
So just in that transition period.
Right.
Do you remember what you were doing or where you were when you heard that Hitler had won the election?
The night of the pogrom? No, that was night of, not the night of the pogrom. I might have been home.
Did you remember how the news affected the family, or was there any discussion among your family or your friends, or even before the election about the Nazis?
Oh, we knew that we had a very short time to be in business in Germany or anything like this.
Once they won the election.
Yeah. Even before. I mean, we started to get out of Germany in 32, 33, and even before. But there must say something about America. America had very small quota that we had to wait our time. Now, I was lucky. I waited until from 33 to 39 to get out of Germany, because you couldn't get out. My parents missed the time. So at that time, America really could have done a little bit more. Just wanted to get that in here too.
Absolutely. 33 to 39.
Yes.
But you felt very early, even before Hitler was elected, that this might happen, or the people you were in contact with felt?
We realized it in 1933. Everybody realized in 1933.
Did you think Hitler would be elected before he was?
Who knew?
But as soon as it happened in 33, you began thinking that perhaps you'd best get... What, do you remember thinking what could happen back in 33 that would have necessitated getting out? Do you understand what I'm asking?
Yes, many things could have happened. You could have been picked up for concentration camp. Many other things could have happened. And it knew us. But there's no way to get out. I myself went in my parents' store. They had to give up the store the night of the book home. And I don't want to talk too much about it, but it was a horrible night where they had to give up the store. And overnight I had to leave the store. I myself, we moved at that time to Wiesbaden to get away from it. I myself went 1937 to France on a visitor visa. But France was also as friendly as America. And after 6 weeks I had to go back. They didn't extend the visa. So then I waited until 39. This is when I went.
That means that you were still in Germany
until
Kristallnacht. Do you remember that at all?
I surely do.
Do you want to talk a little about that?
No.
No.
It was too horrible.
Okay.
Just horrible not to forget about it.
Okay. Did you have a lot of contact with the... Well, before I ask that, I was going to ask about the getting out. Is there anything else about that period you'd like to talk about? Changes in the people you grew up with who were Gentiles or anything of that sort?
There were a few still that tried at night to talk to us. But very, very few. because they were afraid themselves, they couldn't talk. There were others there watching them. So there were not many people left that actually wanted to know him.
Were you still in the town then in which you grew up?
No.
No. Where were you?
In this part.
Uh-huh. And that was how far away?
This was about, let me say, in miles, 150 miles.
And with whom were you staying?
We bought a house.
Oh, you did? Was it considered safer there?
Nobody knew us then. You had to wait somewhere, you know.
Big pardon?
You had to wait somewhere until you got your papers to leave.
And
Germany.
You thought it was better to wait where no one knew?
Yeah, we couldn't have waited there anyway. Our house, we couldn't stay in. Overnight, somebody took over the business and everything else.
Did you just sort of stay kind of isolated in the new town?
Yes.
Was your whole family planning to leave at once? Did you all think of it at once?
My brother left in, let me see. He had a very large position in one of the largest department stores in Germany, that was in Düsseldorf. And he went and couldn't get out of Germany. Joined the movement for Israel and went to Holland on the farm. Somebody who never dirtied his hands in his life. For 1 year learned farming, and through that he could go to Israel. He's in Israel now in a kibbutz.
And how about your other brothers and sisters?
No, I have one other sister. She was married and her husband was a cantor.
That was Joe Lieberlis?
Joe Lieberlis. And he was the first one to be picked up into a concentration camp. And it took him 1 year to get out of camp with lawyers and whatnot under the condition that he leave right away. And they left, if I remember right, in 1936 or so for America. That he was the cantor in temple.
I can give you the exact.
What's the temple?
Temple
Bethel.
I can give you the
exact. He was the cantor in temple
Bethel.
Bethel. In Lynn.
So did, but originally you were just, you and your other brothers and sisters were all planning to come and your mother
sisters.
And father.
Died before that.
Uh-huh. So, did you just got your visas as you could? Is that the?
Yeah, I waited until I got it.
Yeah. Who was your sponsor?
Sponsor was, first of all, my sister and my brother-in-law, the Kinder, who were here before, and they needed much more money, and I found somebody very far related who gave a heavy David. And besides this, my brother and my sister lived in Lynn, Newell Street, in what apartment building? The first big apartment building. Eichner's owned it. And Mrs. Eichner, Mr. Eichner's mother, gave Abby David for me to
go
out. Dr. Eichner's mother.
She gave, so you had
part
two, Abby
David. You
three
need to
hear
it. Right,
yeah.
Right.
They changed the, since you were trying for such a long time, didn't they change the rules quite a bit during that period?
No.
No.
They left the quota was there and nobody else could go. Mm-hmm. Many of my friends, they couldn't wait. They went to Columbia. They went to China and waited. And at that time, even you could go to Cuba if you had money and wait to come in here.
Was going to this country, United States, your first choice in your case? Or did you
yes.
not care? Because
because I have relatives here and my sister here. Mm-hmm.
Pardon me. Did you have any contact, or you must have had some contact with the American consulate?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, which one?
I was in Stuttgart myself quite often. Uh-huh. I spent some time there, but it didn't help.
Can you tell me about your dealings with the consulate, with the American consulate?
Yeah, they're very stiff.
Very stiff?
Very stiff.
Stiff. Yeah. Elaborate on that.
You could go in and waited maybe for a day or two for an appointment, and you told them the story, and you were told, you've got the quota, you have to wait until the time comes.
So they wouldn't give you...
In simple words. Mm-hmm. Right. No exceptions.
Did you feel that they were anti-Semitic, or they didn't care,
no,
or that they were just
no.
doing their job, or how would you describe?
No. I think they did their job. But they were told.
Do you remember the day when you finally got your visa, when your quota number came up?
I guess I know it was somehow in March 1939, or maybe February, I don't know. I left in March.
And where were you living then when you heard that you're...
In Wiesbaden.
The same place? In the same kind, with your family?
Yeah.
Do you remember telling your family that you had gotten your quota number had come up?
Oh, sure. My parents knew it. Came in the mail. Yeah.
What was their response?
Can we stop 1 minute?
Sure, sure. Thing going? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I was asking you if you remembered your family's response when you came in and said that your...
They were very happy for me. Yeah. But they were not so happy that they couldn't leave.
That they couldn't leave.
Yeah.
Were they still in line waiting for their...
Still waiting. Still waiting.
And they never got out.
Never got out. In fact, I had for them ships tickets to go to China. Wait up there. And the week before they had to leave, the war broke out. Just 1 week.
Yeah, I've heard that from 3 people.
Yeah, many of them, because it got very late. We knew there would be more. That was the only way to know.
Did you have any dealings with the German officials of various sorts trying to get the visa?
Germany did not have anything to do with the visa.
But
this is only American consulate.
So you didn't have anything
the German,
at all
they want to get rid of you. See, the sooner the better. Mm-hmm.
So then you left in, you think it was about...
39.
March.
March 39.
Do you remember? What were you allowed to take with you at that point?
I was actually nothing. I could, in money, 10 marks or $2.50. But furniture I earned, I could take. And this I took, and it was in a very large lift, and I paid for transportation. But in the meantime, the war broke out, and the lift was called, the big case, was laying in Holland. And the war was over, I had to pay again with American money to bring it in.
So you didn't get it until the war was over?
Yeah.
1903. Yeah. Did you have to pay a tax on the furniture as well?
No.
So you're allowed to take out your furniture. And,
right.
Can you describe the day you left?
The day I left. I left by train and went to Holland. And went with a Holland combination freight and passenger ship.
So you said goodbye to your family at the station?
Right.
Do you remember your feelings then? Did you?
Anybody should know the feelings.
Yeah. Then you took the ship from Holland?
Right.
And was it a Dutch ship?
Yeah, that's Dutch.
Mm-hmm. And who were your passengers as you went?
Passengers on the ship?
Yeah.
Strangers.
Were they other people getting out of?
Yes, mostly.
Uh-huh. Other Jewish people?
Mostly, yeah.
Could you describe a little bit the voyage over to the United States?
The voyage over was very odd. You want to know how I felt one night? I was feeding fish overboard, if you're interested in that. Otherwise, the voyage, non-eventful. We were glad to be out of Germany. It was a smaller ship, not a very large one. I don't know how many days it took. Must have taken about 10 days, 2 weeks. I don't know, a combination. Passenger and freight.
With the Dutch crew.
Dutch. Captain. Yeah.
So then you landed in New York.
In New York.
Do you remember landing?
In New York, yes. I had a lot of relatives. I had an aunt who used to live with us for many years. She brought me up hard ones. And I had some uncles there, American uncles. And the aunt's children, which I knew from Germany. My cousins were there, many, many people. And I stayed 1 week in New York.
What did you do in that week?
I looked at New York, Times Square, and my cousin took me out. We had a wonderful time. Everything was new to me.
How did it strike you compared to where you grew up as a...
You were a free man, you could do what you want, you could say what you want, but we couldn't do in Germany.
And then, now you always knew you were going to Lynn to join your sister?
Yes,
is that,
yes.
Yeah. So after the week you...
After the week I went to Lynn,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And who greeted you there?
My sister, my brother-in-law, and his brother was living here too. That's Elsa's husband, Elsa's husband.
And did they take you to their home?
No, my sister took me.
So you went to your sister's home.
Right.
And can you think back to the first week or the first 2 weeks in Lynn and your impressions of the city and what you did?
The impressions were wonderful, to be free to do what you want. I was very anxious to get started. To work, and I found a job in 2-3 days, which I quit after 2 weeks.
What was the job?
I came to America eager to work. And I got the job in three days, where in a very small grocery store, the two women and the two widows.
Grocery store.
A little grocery, I won't mention name. And in the morning I came in, I couldn't do dirty my hand, I just was in the store. In the afternoon I saw Greater Boston, Greater Lynn. One of the women drove me around in the afternoon, next day the other one. And the 14th day somebody wanted to marry me. And I quit my job. So you asked. How I sat in America.
Is that why you quit?
I quit.
Was this a Jewish store?
Jewish store. Yeah.
So were the people you met, did your sister and let's see now, you knew your sister and of course her husband and then his brother?
Yeah.
His brother, but not Theo. Another
yeah.
Theo.
Oh,
Theo.
Yeah.
Theo. Oh, that's right. So they were there. So there were those four people. And did you know other socialize with other Jewish people?
Nobody I knew at that time.
No, but I mean, were you meeting other Jewish
yeah,
people
sure.
during that first?
Sure.
And did you join the...
I met my wife. I
day.
Saw her sitting
first
in
day. Oh.
The first day. She was the organist in the temple. I went to the temple. So
right.
I met her. I met Elsa Lieber's sister. Was not married at that time, and so on.
So did you find you found it difficult, easy to adjust in
very
between?
Easy.
Very
easy. Very easy. No problems.
How long did you live with your brother-in-law and sister?
Until 39 to 44.
When did you get married? In
44.
Okay. And did you, after a bit, did you sort of join the Jewish organizations of the temple,
yes,
et cetera, et cetera?
Yes, we joined the temple, and we had another group. Oh, we had a young Jewish group. We went bicycle riding. What else did we do? We had all kinds of fun.
Did you talk at all with the Jewish people from this country about what was going on in Germany?
I tried not to.
Tried not to? Did they express an interest or a concern about what was happening?
Oh, yes. They want to know what's happening.
Do they seem
concerned? But I could read the paper, too.
Yeah. Do they seem concerned about the people?
Yes. Some do, some not.
Did you encounter any kind of negative feelings from anyone, either because you were German or because you were a refugee or because you were...
No.
The people were just friendly. Let's see, that was Rabbi Harburg?
Rabbi Harburg. Who married us too.
Ah. Yeah, was he
very, 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 very.
Uh-huh.
And especially one fellow who's not living anymore, a lawyer, not with, but very friendly.
In what ways did he help you?
Oh, in general, answering questions. We got friendly. He invited us to the house and accompanied us there. So.
What kind of job did you get after the grocery store job folded?
After the grocery store, I did not want the job. I did something what I did now here in America. I borrowed $300. And produce something not known in America. And I went out with this prospect to look for customers to trim windows.
Trim?
Windows.
Trim
window
windows.
Trimming. I was very good in trimming windows, making signs, sign painting. And I went on the road with this item and made cardboard signs.
And what was the item? This was a...
I took a photo album. And I went to a place where I bought gum sheets, 22 by 20, or like cardboard, but like a stamp, gummed on one side. Three colors, orange, white, and green. Had three sides of circles cut. I had stickers printed with use, sales, and special. And I took a photo album. Photo album and made all kinds of signs with those items by taking orange and white and mixing, maxing. And I went to stores looking for customers to trim the store. People never saw this. They looked at it, and besides looking for customers at town, I needed money, $300 to pay back. I was counting 215 of each of those items in little paper bags. When I went on the road, I was selling it. By selling that, I made my expense for traveling car I couldn't afford. After 2 weeks, I had so many customers that I worked day or night, and I couldn't even sell anymore. And if you go in my attic, I still have cases of this merchandise, and I'm using it right now in my own store for sales. And nobody ever comes. You'll get out.
Where'd you put it?
It's on the desk underneath. I show you how it looks.
That's amazing. Okay.
This I did only for 3 or 4 months.
How far did you travel?
Only around Lynn and Almond. One of my first hours was in Medford. And in Wakefield, the store opened. I did the opening for it. I had some in Boston. One store, after 3-4 months, I did one store on Hanover Street in Boston, two windows. Give it to me.
Oh my goodness.
Two windows. Two windows. Naturally, wherever I can think I use this material, I got some extra money for them. And on this store were a very large store with 10 windows on in Boston. And the manager of the store saw the windows I trimmed. And those windows look different. They're not American windows. And he asked who did. So after about 3-4 months, one day I got a postcard to come in that store. And then I came in there and I saw 10 windows. I said, I can't take it. But 10 minutes later, I walked out as the window trimmer for that store. So I trimmed the windows there and kept a few private customers. And I did that for 7 years. And after 7 years, I took over the management of the store. Until after 14 years, that builder rode in the store. But this is how this looked, very primitive. These are the circles. And by taking different kinds of colors, you see, you get different
really vivid effects too, yeah. Yeah.
So with this I went and got my customers.
My goodness.
Okay. 300 was a good investment. And I'm still using that. In fact, we have a sale 2 weeks, you see, designs in other stores. And nobody ever came.
This was a German idea that you had.
It's my idea.
Your idea. Yeah. So they're really quite, because they leap out at you. That's great.
Well, this is what started me off in this country. These are the items.
That is that's great. You just thought of that one day.
Yeah.
Did you speak English when you came here?
I had English in school.
In Germany.
In Germany.
So you were familiar enough to be able to take your product.
Yeah. Oh, no, I couldn't. Yeah. How bad was my English? I don't know. So
you got along all right.
I got along.
So immediately, I guess that was a help.
Can I tell you the story how you caught me? Want something funny?
Yeah, I think that would be a nice story. Why don't we change the
tell you this stuff
first, okay? Switch it over. I don't know if it's quite ready, but what do you think?
No, you have something on it. It will stop.
Oh, it will?
Mine will stop. I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah, you have enough of the story.
Okay, all right. We'll go with the story.
You might cut it out afterwards. My wife's parents had a little grocery store on West Baltimore Street. And I went to night school twice a week to learn English. And after school, I used to pass by the store. My wife Selma was in the store. And I bought for 1 cent sash. Slash, it's her eyes. But she didn't give me 1 cent. I bet she gave me 5 cents worth. And I still say today, this is how she got me.
Okay. But you didn't get married until 1944, so you... It's a longish courtship.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think I will change this over.
Okay.
Let's see what...
Are you changing? Did you want something sweet or a cold drink?
Oh.
Push the red one first. You got it?
Yes. Thank you. I was going to ask you if you knew, besides, you joined Temple Beth El, I take it, is that right? And
yes.
Did you join any other Jewish organizations?
Any other Jewish organizations? No, I made a lot of friends.
Mm-hmm. And I'm wrong with these. Friends, did you know any non-Jewish people, or were most of your...
No, I would say mostly Jewish people in India.
And how about when you were selling to people, were they mostly Jewish people?
No. Any kind of stores. Mm-hmm. No exception. I didn't ask if they were Jewish.
Right. Do you remember, I guess, Pearl Harbor Day? Where you were and what you were doing?
Pearl Harbor Day. I don't know what I was doing at that time. But we all remember.
You remember your feelings?
Yes, like anybody else's feelings. Very sneaky attack.
Did you have any feeling about, you know, this country being at war with Germany as well? I mean, did that, having grown up as a German citizen, did that bother you that somehow you...
Not at all. Not at this time.
During the war, now you weren't a citizen yet during the war, were you?
No, I was not. Okay.
So did you encounter any problems being a German national?
No, we had to register.
Beg your pardon?
We had to register.
Uh-huh.
As aliens, that we had to do. I had a shortwave radio that I had to disconnect on my set. In general, nothing else, actually. Yeah, that's one little episode, maybe. It should go in here, too. When I was hired in my first job, so that was about, I would say, about June. And the manager who hired me said, we are almost involved with Germany. Hans is a real German name. What is your middle name? I said, I don't have a middle name, but my Jewish name is Jacob. And this day on, I was Jack. And still in business dealings, my name is still Jack.
Jack?
My friends call me Hans, so I have a double name, which is legally changed on court to Hans Jack Selig.
And this is because your employer felt that there might be some hostility,
right,
because it was a German name.
Right.
But in fact, you really didn't encounter any registration, various bureaucratic things.
That's the only thing.
Were you still in touch with the members of your family who were still in Germany during the 2 years?
There was no touch.
You just lost touch as soon as you came out?
There were no connections.
I mean, before the war broke out?
Until the war broke out, yes. Always in touch. But from the day the war broke out, there was no connection.
How long were you actually in inland? How long did you stay there?
Inland?
Mm-hmm.
I was in inland until we bought a house in Newton. This was 26 years ago now? 26
years ago.
So that was?
Counting back would be 53.
Right?
53. About that way. Right.
And why did you decide to move out of Lynn?
My business was involved in.
Involved
too in? Too much travel.
Uh-huh. So was this the same business that you had got?
Same business.
So, on the whole, I guess, how would you describe your Lynn years, the time you spent in Lynn?
Very happy years. Very nice years.
You had lots of friends that were doing
that? Yes.
Activities when you got married before. I guess I really... I guess I have a few other questions about, you have the one son, is that?
One son, right. We have one son.
You, yes. I meant plural you. I really can't think of anything else to ask. But I was wondering if there's anything that you feel I've missed that you feel is important in this whole experience that you would like others to know, or that feels particularly significant that you'd like to say.
Nothing special.
Nothing special.
I'm glad to be here. The opportunity in America, I think, anybody who wants to has a chance to have the.
Is there anything that you would like to say that would relate
to... You gotta come over here.
Yes, I suppose so.
I have to say one thing. That everybody's service turned out to be my good fortune. Mm-hmm. Because I got... We had a beautiful life. Really beautiful. And he's a great guy. He doesn't tell you a 16th of what he does. He has helped so many people, I can't tell you.
Okay. Yep. Thank you very much.